Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Terry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
All right, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest joining us today from the world of fashion. And boy, oh boy, does he have a story to share this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Okay, let's bring to the line Mr. Nicholas Stiles. Nicholas, good morning and welcome. Yes, welcome to the broadcast. Okay, I want to jump. Yes, it's my pleasure. And listen, I want to jump right on in to this. This is, to me, a very big, big story. It's one that has not, that I hadn't heard about. I want to start here. You are, you had been working with a legendary music artist. You were hired to work closely and be an assistant to this legendary music artist. And shortly thereafter, the music artist passes away.
Right.
So I want to get the story with how all of this came to be. You know, the entire story. I think we want to tell this. But first, let's kind of go back a little bit. Now, you are, where are you from, Nicholas? Where were you born? Where were you raised? That wonderful good stuff. What can you tell us this morning?
Lorain, Ohio. From Lorain, Ohio, born in Lorain, Ohio, raised in Lorain, Ohio. That's actually where I live right now, because I've been back to Ohio.
Okay. And that's near the Cleveland area.
Yes. About a good maybe 30 minutes from downtown Cleveland.
Okay. All right. So now this person, this superstar, if you will, let's just go ahead and put it on out there. We're talking about the late Mary Wilson. You guys know her from Supreme's fame. She's been, you know, forever immortalized, as far as we're concerned, with her incredible music talent. And so we've got to go back. Let's start at the beginning. How did you find out, how did this come to be where you were hired on as an assistant for the great Mary Wilson?
Well, then if we're going to talk about that, we have to go back even further.
So all right.
2018. Actually, I think we should go back even further than 2018. When I was about eight years old, I was watching PBS, and they were doing a telethon to sell DVDs for the Ed Sullivan Show. And I honestly didn't know who the Supremes were. I knew the name Diana Ross, but I didn't know who the Supremes were. So it was, you know, I'm watching this little program that they were doing to raise money for the station and sell these DVDs. And the Supremes come on, and they're wearing these baby blue sequin fish scale halter neck dresses. And what made me fall in love with them is their dresses. So then I started, you know, going on the internet, looking them up, and I found, you know, more videos of them and more. I found that they had more dresses and more sequins and beads. So then I started looking up who they were individually and looking at their individual stories, not knowing that there was a connection between Supreme and Dreamgirls at the time. And well, until later on when I looked it up and discovered more of like Florence Ballard's story, and they compared it to Effie White. From there, sorry. Okay. I didn't know if you were going to say something. But from there, I had always had a dream of being a fashion designer. So when I discovered the Supremes, it kind of like felt like I found my muse of what I wanted to design. Because I've always had this idea of glamorous stuff, glamorous clothes. But I never had a face to put to it, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So when I discovered the Supremes, they became the face to my designs.
All of the glitter and the glamorous stage presence and the dancing and singing and those amazing songs. They have like a billion songs. And wow, okay. So you fell in love with them at that point, never dreaming that you'd be working for one of them.
Well, in 2015, December 2015, my grandmother, Faye, died, And one of the things she always encouraged was my liking for Motown. She had a bunch of records because that was her period of growing up.
Right.
Was the 60s. So she had a bunch of records, and she'd play the records, and we would listen to the records. She'd tell me, like, oh, I remember doing this or doing this or this song. And I remember she tried to get us a tour of the Motown Museum. She died before that happened. But she did, one thing she did say is kind of, I guess, a coincidence. Everything she said happened, but it didn't happen exactly how she said it, because what she said was, you're going to meet Diana Ross, and you're going to become close to her, work with her, do all these different things. And everything she said was going to happen with Diana Ross happened with Mary Wilson.
Wow. But she had that vision.
Yeah.
And quite often, when you get those visions, they happen, but it may not be exactly, what that person had seen. But that is amazing.
Right.
So that was the beginning, and quite possibly planted in your mind as well. And it could have started you on that road and path.
A little bit. No, definitely. Mary and Diana are my favorite Supremes. I remember every year Diana would come to Ohio, I would try to go see her. Something would always happen. One time, whether the tickets sold out before I could buy the tickets, or I wasn't old enough to get into a venue, because most of the time she would come to Cleveland, would be at one of the casinos, so they didn't allow anyone who wasn't over 21 in the casino.
Right.
So there was one time I had everything ready. I'm going to go to Vegas to go see Diana Ross. And this was a month before the pandemic happened. It was the week before my flight, who was supposed to leave, everything got shut down. So it kind of felt like I'm never going to see this woman. So it just kind of like a thing of it's never going to happen. But by this time, I was already in contact with Mary Wilson. January of 2018, after a phone conversation, we had never met in person before. We talked on the phone, and I had.
Well, how did she? How did you find? Did you see something on the internet that she was looking for an assistant, or how did she even know that you existed?
Well, she didn't. I don't think she knew. Well, I don't know if she knew I existed or not, but I will say when I told her who I was, she acted as if she knew who I was already. So it was never a question of how you got my phone number or who are you, anything like that. But how I got her phone number was her hairstylist, her name is Diana, evidently. Her hairstylist posted their text messages on Facebook and didn't realize that she posted the text messages and had her number at the top of the
page.
And so I'm like, this is Mary Wilson. I knew who Diana was because a lot of the Supreme fans are connected with each other, so we all kind of know each other in one way or another. And I knew who Diana was because she's been talked about, and she talked about working for Mary. So when I saw it, I'm like, that's not really Mary. Mary's phone number. It's like, that's too easy. Like, there's no way that I have this woman's number. So I text the number, and I said, Merry Christmas. This was obviously, Christmas. And I said, Merry Christmas, because that's the day I found it, was on Christmas. And she replied back, Merry Christmas. I don't know who this is. But happy holidays to you and your family, something like that. And then it said, touch MW. And from her Facebook post and her Twitter post, she'd always use that as her signature at the end of her statuses, touch MW. So I'm like, no, this really isn't her. I said, I don't think it's really her. So I got curious, and I texted the number again. This was January, though. And I texted and said, hey, I was just wondering, I'm starting a lip gloss line, and I was wondering if you would be interested in being a sampler for me. And she responded back, sure, call me. So me waiting to, you know, because I'm nervous, obviously, so I'm like, I don't know if it's really going to be her or not. So when I called, I heard her voice, and I said, wow, this is really Mary Wilson. So we talked on the phone, and like I said, never once asked how you got my phone number. The only thing she asked me was, what's my name and where am I from? That's all she asked. But she never asked how I got her phone number, you know, what was my reasoning for calling her. She was just completely polite, kind of as if we knew each other all this time.
Very kind.
Yeah. Opening, welcoming, and friendly. So, kind of put me at ease, too, because...
Yeah.
At the end of the conversation, she states that, you know, I can't help you financially with, you know, your business, but I can be a mentor if that's something that you're interested in. And I said, yeah, I actually, honestly, only wanted you to be a tester. Or just, like, sample it and post about it, take pictures wearing it and saying that you like the product if you did like it. I honestly wasn't contacting you for money. And she said, okay. She said, well, yeah, if you want a mentor, I can help guide you in the direction business-wise of where you want to be. So I said, okay. And we went from there. Like, that was January.
Amazing. Wow.
I ran a Supreme.
How did you feel?
Club.
Were you not just overjoyed? Or you,
yeah,
weren't you overjoyed? And yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So now you were still out in Cleveland at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lorraine, yes.
Okay, right. I'm sorry. Yes, of course. In Ohio. Safely say Ohio. But now where was Mary at that point?
Vegas. Either Vegas or in L.A. No, I'm sorry. She was in L.A. because the address she sent me when we got off the phone was an L.A. address.
Okay.
She was in L.A. at the time.
Okay, got it. Wow. Okay. So how did the conversation, okay, great. She is friendly. She is kind. You kind of started that connection. She offered to mentor, to be a mentor, which is amazing all by itself. But you're still out there. How did that conversation evolve to you becoming her assistant, though?
Well, I honestly, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think she needed an assistant. I think what it was is that she more so just wanted someone to be with her or someone around her. Because what she told me was, she hasn't really had anyone creative on her team. And when I say creative, I don't mean like, you know, creative with ideas, creative with, you know, actual like artistic skills, things like that. Hair, makeup, I can do hair, I can do makeup. So all of that is kind of what she was looking for more so. But I also feel like she wishes also, whether she knew she was at the end or not, maybe she just wanted someone to be there with her. Because when I was over there, I honestly never did any work. I sent maybe a few emails, looked up a few things.
You think when you traveled, when you were over there, so when you traveled from Ohio out to Vegas, and that's where she had come, apparently left that L.A. Address and went over to Vegas. Okay.
Yeah,
and
home for her is Vegas.
Okay. So that's where she lived. That was her home. She was based out in Las Vegas, Nevada. And so you went out there a while ago to meet up and all of that. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
Okay, so...
in November of 2021.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's been a long time. Okay.
Yes, November 2021, she said, I need the system. I wish you were here in Vegas. I'd hire you full time. And I said, well, in my head, I didn't respond to the email like this. I said, in my head, well, I can make that happen.
I'm telling you, I would have been like, somebody's at your door. That's me. I'm at the door. I would have jumped out the window and been there in 2 seconds. Of course. The great Mary Wilson.
It was 2 seconds. I had nothing planned, nothing saved. I had, when I left Vegas, I had $200 and a plane ticket and a suitcase full of clothes.
Okay. And that's plenty.
Yep. That was all I needed because I knew a dream of mine had came true. So I didn't care about anything else, honestly.
Exactly.
What she was paying me, I would have did it for free, honestly. I didn't care about what she was paying me. I didn't care about anything. Nothing of that was in my head. At that moment, and even once I got there, at that moment, only thing that was on my mind was I am sitting in front of someone I look up to almost all my life.
Wow. Let me just take a moment to bring everybody up to speed. Folks out there, if you are just joining us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very, very special guest who is with us telling a remarkable story that he has lived. The personal assistant to one of the greatest entertainers of, you know, for the generations that have passed. We're talking about Mary Wilson of the Supremes. And I have to say, the young man is Nicholas Stiles. He, in his own right, is a creator. Well, they call now, you know, a creative. He is doing all these amazing things that we're going to talk about. And he's kind of bringing us along in this great story of first meeting Miss Wilson and, of course, discovering a passion for the Supremes and following his grandmother's great premonition that he one day would meet a Supreme. And so it has happened. I have to say, this story, Nicholas, is just unreal. It's unreal. It really is. And you're just getting started. And it's unreal, yes.
And honestly, when I tell people the story, whether I'm doing an interview or talking to someone, a friend or a family member, or just talking to someone who doesn't really know the story, it kind of feels like I'm telling a dream, not really a real story. Or I'm telling something that you would hear about in a book or in a movie.
Absolutely.
Nothing that really just happened to someone who, I guess you could say, dare to dream.
Well, she's a music icon. She's a music icon. So now, we were at the point where you went out to Vegas, the first meeting. What happened? Who picked who up? How did you connect? You know, did she show up at the at McCarran in Las Vegas at the airport and drive you from there? Did she send the car or Uber or what? Oh, that was not your first?
No, that was our first meeting in Vegas, though. But she came to Cleveland the same year that we met over the phone. She came to Cleveland, and that was our first time meeting in person. And then she also came to Detroit that following year, and she was hosting a party, and I had drove to Detroit for the party. Because Detroit, for me, is only 2 hours.
It's not so far, right, and she was close by. By that time, you guys had gotten close.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was already my mentor. We were talking, you know, on the phone, not every day or maybe like every other month or something like that. And
you stayed in contact.
Yeah.
Okay.
She would email me to check in. I talked to her about me being depressed, and she had to check in and see how I was doing and things like that.
Awesome. Now, what about that first meeting, though, when she came to Cleveland? What did you, I mean, were you super excited? Did she look like you believed she would? Or How did you guys, apparently you clicked.
Well, how that happened was my birthday is August 31st, so she came in September of that year. And I had knew she was coming because I kept track of all of her tour dates so that I could post them on the fan page that I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was coming to certain cities. I'd say, well, hey, Mary's coming to this city, or and she's going to be at this place, or whatever. And that's how she's coming.
Mm-hmm.
I looked it up and saw that it was only $15 to get in. I'm like, Cleveland, it's only $15. And I bought my ticket instantly. So I remember my mom called me. Friends text me and tag me in different posts on Facebook and Instagram, like, you know Mary Wilson's coming to Cleveland, right? I'm like, you already know, I already know this. I've been picking up my outfit for a month now. So the night before she came, I called her because I was unsure of like what type of event this was, because as we got closer to the event, the venue added more information about the event. And I wanted to know what was it something like I should dress up for. She was also at a museum. So it was like, so I asked, should I dress up? Should I, you know, come casual? You know, what should I expect? And she was telling me, you know, don't worry about it. It's a, you know, casual event. So you don't have to dress up or anything like that. Well, I guess I should have thought when someone older says casual, they mean more like business casual. Because I came in there with leggings and a flannel wrapped around my waist. And everyone has suits on and...
Right. Oh, don't you feel like you just want to melt into the ground?
Yes. Yes. I'm like, oh, my God. Because I had a suit picked out.
Right.
Was, you know, since she said it isn't, you know, I don't have to dress up. I mean, I'm not going to dress up.
Yes. Well, you know what you learned? You absolutely learned that day the difference between casual and business casual. Believe
right.
me. And that's a lesson a lot of folks don't know. But in a way, it made you stand out also and
mm-hmm.
express your style to a big degree.
No, it definitely did. And it did for two reasons. So when she walked out from the back of the museum, she looked around the room. I told her I was coming, so she looked around the room. We never saw. Well, I knew what she looked like. She didn't know what I looked like. So she looked around the room and she didn't see. I guess she was looking for me. I guess. So she looked. Me and her made eye contact. She smiled and she, you know, started looking around the room again. And then she looked back at me again. She said, "Are you Nick?" And I said, "Yeah." And then she had this big smile. She was like, "Well, come here." So she, we kind of had like an awkward moment where she held her hand out. I held my arms out to give. She held her hand out to shake my hand. I held my arms out to hug her, and then she held her arms out to hug me. I held my hand out to shake her hand. So it was kind of like a back and forth for us. So we just ended up shaking Ben's hand. And then she said, "Look what I have on." And she pointed to her lips, and it was a lipstick that I had made for her. And I'm sorry, I can't talk. And she started laughing, and she said, "It's okay." She said, "I'm sure you'll be more settled after the program, so after the show, we'll talk." So she gets on, it's like a live Q&A she did, a live interview. And the lady who's interviewing her asked her, does she mentor? Because they were talking about Maxine Powell and all the other mentors that her and the Supremes had at Motown. So she said, I don't really call it mentoring, more just giving guidance to younger fans. But if you see the young man sitting right there in the front row, I guess you could say I mentor him. He makes lip glosses and lipsticks and that's how we became connected. So now everybody's looking
wow.
at me like, oh, you know Mary?
Like, who are you? Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Wow.
So, you know, that was the first time we met.
Amazing. That is amazing. So from there, you go back to, well, she came out to Cleveland, so you're already near your home, not too far from Cleveland. So so that was that. And as you mentioned, you guys stayed in touch over the months and all of that. And at this point, she's your mentor. You're the mentee. And now your friends, what does your family think of you? I mean, because you have to look at it this way also, Nicholas. You're from a different generation, totally different parts of the spectrum when it comes to generations. So did that, you know, so did people think you have like we used to call like an old spirit or any of those kinds of things? Were you teased about being connected to some legendary artist? You know, so how did that play in your head? And your friends, what do your friends think about this?
All my life I felt like an old soul, or as I was called an old soul. For example, I remember when I was younger, and there was a birthday party. It was, of course, a kid's birthday party I was invited to. Everybody, you know, was wearing sneakers and jeans, maybe, and I wore dress pants and Stacy Adams shoes. And everybody was looking at me like, why do you have church clothes on? Because it's what I felt comfortable in.
Wow. And even your communication style, it feels like I'm talking to more of a contemporary age-wise, really. But that is just amazing. You put folks at ease, and we're going to talk about that. So, which I imagine went over very well with Mary Wilson. So tell me about that.
It definitely got critiqued one of the days that I was at her house. So it was wash day, and I only had this bodysuit that I had bought, a jumpsuit I bought. It was a tight jumpsuit. And I had wore a shirt over it because I wore it as kind of like pants, so I like wore a sweater over it to make it look like it was pants and a shirt. And the jumpsuit was really tight. So she opens the door, and she goes, hot dots, and looks me up and down, and just moves out the way, and kind of like just lets me in, doesn't say anything. And the whole time, I'm like, well, I don't know what I did, because she just keeps making these faces at me. So I'm like, either she doesn't like me or something wrong with my outfit. I'm like, well, I don't know what I don't know. So it kind of made me awkward because like, so she really didn't say much to me like she usually would. So the next day, I come over and I'm, you know, like I said, it's wash day, so I don't have anything but like jogging pants that were clean. And I wore the jogging pants that I had over to her house. And she goes, these pants, the first thing she says, these pants are a lot better than the ones you wore the last time. And I say, you know, you said you didn't say anything, but you kept making these faces. And I wasn't going to say anything if you weren't, but since you did, she said I was making faces. And I said, yeah, you're making quite a few faces. And she's like, I'm sorry. And I was like, no, it's fine. It was actually kind of funny. And she's like, my thing is, when you have a big, and she stopped. She said a big, and then there's this pause, a big behind. You don't wear tight pants. I said, oh. She said, yeah. She said, you know, I don't want to be offensive or anything, but, you know, you just, it's not flattering. Unless it's the kind of attention you want.
And okay.
I said, I understand. And she was like, well.
That's great. That is great advice that I will never unhear. That's great advice, I think. How did you take that?
Well, once again, it was one of those things that made me feel more comfortable around her because it was like I was home.
And she always seemed to speak her mind on television interviews.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, at this point, I wanted to ask you, Nicholas, and again, if you guys are just joining us, I'm speaking with a very special guest on the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's a very, very special broadcast. We have welcomed the last assistant of singing superstar, the legendary icon, Miss Mary Wilson of the Supremes. Nicholas Stiles is his name, and he's joining us today with this amazing story that you don't want to miss one part of, believe me. It's just, I've never heard anything quite like it. Now, I wanted to ask you, during some of these meetings, you guys met, she came out to Cleveland, you guys met in Detroit, you stayed in touch over the months. The friendship was growing, the mentoring was going on. Was there ever a point that she shared details of her journey as a Supreme with you, or did she ever talk about Diana? I mean, we want to know these things. Did she ever mention Diana Ross to you?
If you are looking for anything shady, no. But she definitely knows Diana's name. And I want to say this first. There's not one person in this world who I can't stand that I'll have pictures of in my house, hang up on my wall. Or don't like or dislike. And she had paintings that she purchased of Diana by herself hanged on her wall.
Wow.
So, well, she had pictures of all of them, her, Diana, and Florence. But I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't have pictures of a person I disliked or anything like that on my wall.
Right. Right.
So,
did you get the feeling that she did not like Diana?
No, never, actually. Never felt that way at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me let you go ahead. What did she tell you? Did she call you to the side and say, listen, let me give you the real story? Did she talk about Berry Gordy and Motown and all that?
I would say this. Mary Wilson, the Supreme, and Mary Wilson, I guess they aren't Auntie Mary, were two different people. When I was around her or talked to her on the phone, it kind of like was like I was talking to just Mary Wilson, the person, not the Supreme. So when she's telling me different stories of her youth, it's kind of just like a regular older person telling you about the good old days. Stories of Diana were few. There was only like two or three, as she told me, that had Diana in it. And it wasn't like, let me tell you the key. It was more of like, I asked her a question, and, for example, Wilson Pickett. I had asked her a question about him, and she was telling me about a documentary they had together called Only the Strong Survive, if I'm not mistaken. It was Wilson Pickett in the documentary, Mary Wilson, Carla Thomas, and Rufus Thomas. And the reason why Wilson Pickett's name I came up with because I was asking her about Carla Thomas. Carla Thomas actually is a family friend. Rufus Thomas and Carla Thomas are family friends. And I was asking her about them. But she was telling me, she's like, I remember when we did this show, this interview, and Wilson Pickett picked up the story about us back in the day. And I said, is this a story about the car ride? And she said, yeah, you know exactly what we're talking about. So the story was, the story goes, Wilson Pickett said, we'd have Mary and Florence sit in the front, and Diana sit all the way in the back with her head down because she was so ugly. And Mary was like, everyone started laughing, and it made me feel awkward because it really wasn't funny, but it was just like now I'm in this space because we were already going through our own little thing publicly at the time. So for him to say that, with me sitting right next to him, made me look bad, or something made me look bad. And she was like, I just hope that she didn't see that and think like, oh, there she goes again. So that was one thing she said.
Interesting. Wow.
but more of the stories were about Florence, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
But like I
so
said, didn't
they were. What did she share about Florence? I mean, that is to me a huge, huge. Florence was the whole kind of the impetus for the whole Dreamgirls movie, really.
Right.
So what can you tell us that she shared?
Well, what she said was, I had mentioned something about, well, she, you know, I didn't mention, she mentioned something about my weight. And I said, I'm going to do what Florence is going to tell y'all. It may be in, but honey, fat is where it's at. And she started laughing, and she said, Florence, she sure was a character. And I said, I wish I could have met her. And she said, who? Diane? And I said, no. I said, well, I want to meet her too. But I said, no, Florence. And she said, oh, no, she was definitely somebody who would like. She was pressed before like it is. Always.
And she called Diana Ross Diane always. Every TV interview I've ever seen, I've never seen her call Diana Ross Diana. She seemed to always call her Diane.
And what she told me wasn't about that particular situation, though. Well, her calling Diana Diane. It was about someone else. I can't remember who. Oh, Muhammad Ali. So she had said he would get mad at her for calling him Cassius. Because she's like, that's what I met him
yes.
as, and it always stuck.
Cassius Clay, yes.
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 So when he changed his name to Muhammad, it was like, hey, Cassius. And he's like, Mary, stop calling me that.
Right. Wow. So Mary had a lot of famous friends, I imagine. You know,
yes.
like that legendary fighter, Muhammad Ali. Originally, you know, first start out Cassius Clay, of course. So did you get a chance to talk to her about some of these superstar collaborations and some of the things? And how did that, what might come to mind, like some of the things that she, because you guys were going to start working on projects. And I can't wait to talk to you about what were some of the things that she wanted to, or that you guys started working on together.
Well, I couldn't say this. We didn't start working on anything at the moment. What she was more so doing was training me. She kept saying that I know what you want to do with your career. And she said, I know what you're going to do with your career and what you're going to do with your future. So I want to prepare you for it. And I'm going to get to that later. Because you know how you said about my grandma, how she
right.
made this happen with her dream or her vision. I feel like Mary knew something I didn't know. And I'll say that later on.
Yeah.
But, no, one of the stories she told me, it was the first night I was with her. And we had went out to dinner. She said, well, what do you want to eat? And I said, I'm open to anything. I honestly have no reservations on anything. So she said, well, what about Thai or Japanese? And I said, I've never had either. So you never had Japanese food? I said, well, I'm probably going to go to this Japanese restaurant I really like. So we went to this Japanese restaurant. When we're sitting there, and she ordered, you know, she's like, well, you ever had sushi? And I said, no, just raw fish makes me uncomfortable, the idea of it. And she laughed, and she said, well, they have cooked sushi also. I said, okay, I'll try that. So she got me a thing to tempura sushi and some type of, like, vegetable sushi. So she got me both of them to try. And then she gave me a piece of her sushi also to try her sushi. I can't remember what she had. And we're just sitting there talking. And she slides me a $100 bill, and she says, well, this is your, you know, first payment or whatever. It really wasn't a payment. It was more so just to make sure I had got around the city. And I had, you know, some money in the city until I had got paid. So we're sitting
It sounds there. Like you were just excited to be in the mix of things.
Yes, and I just was in awe. Like, I'm trying to eat my food, and I just noticed little things about her that we had in common. Like, I'm sitting there, I mean, I hate when I'm sitting in front of someone and I'm chewing my food so I cover my mouth. That's the same. She did the same thing. She pulled her bank card out to pay, and we had the same bank. And I said, well, you have Bank of America? And she said, yeah, I have Bank of America. She said, and I said, well, that's the same bank I have. She said, they're a really good bank. I said, I wouldn't use them for business, though, but they're a really good bank to have. So, you know.
Wow.
That was something that we had connected on. So I'm just, like, sitting there just kind of, like, in shock. Like, I couldn't even eat my food because I just was in shock.
And well, you were sitting with a real-life dream girl.
Yes. And I said, I'm sorry. I don't want to sound like I am one of these excited fans, but I have to say this. This is so surreal for me because something I thought I dreamed about since I was a kid, and it's actually happening. I'm sitting here eating sushi with Mary Wilson. And she got it laying
wow.
And she covered her mouth while she was chewing. And she swallowed, and she goes, well, you know, I understand. That's all she said. And then I had to ask her. I said, well, is there any celebrity that you had ever been around that you just felt starstruck around, whether it was the first time meeting or whatever? And she said, only one celebrity. She said, this celebrity, from the first time they met in the 60s to the day they passed away, I want to say that she...
Elvis Presley.
And
oh, no.
In the early 70s.
Ella Fitzgerald? Who?
One more guess, and I'll tell you.
Oh, okay. Let's see. You said it was a female back
in
the 60s.
Female actress singer. Yes.
The only one I could think of was Judy Garland. Okay, I give her.
She passed away in the 2000s.
She passed away in the 2000s. Diane Carroll, maybe? Who?
Lena Horne.
Lena, oh, that should have been one of the top of my list. Yeah, of course. Lena Horne, yeah, she fits the bill. She would make me nervous, you know. Absolutely. Lena Horne, another legend. We're talking about, you know, just Stormy Weather, her big song. Just real amazing. She was across the board, had talent that spread across the board. And just a lovely lady, very talented lady. So, yes, I could get that. Wow. Well, aren't you lucky just to have Mary Wilson, superstar singer of the Supremes, telling Nicholas Stiles all of these wonderful tidbits? Now, I do have one question for you on that subject. What about the movie Dreamgirls? You mentioned it early on at the top of our wonderful talks today, but... what can you tell us? Did she ever mention the movie Dreamgirls or Jennifer Hudson or Jennifer Holliday for that much or anybody?
To me, no. Well, I know she was really good friends with Shirley Ralph.
Oh, she still remained friends with Shirley Ralph.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Who played the Diana part in the Broadway version
of
Dreamgirls. Right. The original Dina Jones. Well, yes, we know our research here at Hair Radio. So I tell you, which is amazing. Yes, well, you guys know Shirley Ralph. She went on to star in Brandy. And, of course, Brandy was on the cover of our Upscale magazine just a couple months ago. I just think there's a full circle thing going on here. I think it's amazing. And what a remarkable story. And, again, if you've just joined us, if you're just tuning in to the Hair Radio Morning Show, I'm having an amazing conversation this morning with Mr. Nicholas Stiles, who is recalling this amazing journey that he has, I think it was a life-changing journey, supporting, yes, and being the assistant to the one and only superstar, legendary music icon artist of the Supremes. We're talking about Mary Wilson. I mean, the Supremes, you have to understand, really the most successful female group of all time. Mm-hmm. Of all time. And, yeah, and just so many different things. They led the way on style. They taught the world about style. They opened up so many doors professionally and otherwise, They were just amazing. I mean, you know, when you think of it. And, you know, so we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want to kind of talk now about some of the, you know, and I think this is going to be a little bit of the hard part, because I want to talk about what happened, you know, how all of this came to kind of a sad end. And so you're working, you're doing all this wonderful, good stuff. How did the conversation come about that you were going to travel to her home out in Las Vegas right before all of this happened, that she passed? What was the crux of that conversation?
Well, first I had to call my cousin. My cousin had offered me earlier that year, so this was November 2021, and in January of 2021, kind of like it's kind of like you said, full circle, because in January 2020, not 2021.
Oh, okay.
And then November 2020, not 2021.
So tell us, so did you have a chance? You said, you know, she mentioned about her children, but did you have a chance to meet or talk to any of her children?
Well, I
at that point, probably not, I would imagine.
She had three children. Well, she had four, actually. She had an adopted son named Willie. She adopted him in the 60s. He actually was her little cousin who she took custody over.
Oh, okay. And so it was basically like she had four children.
Yeah. And then, and she raised him as, like, today, to this day, he calls her mom. Because I want to say he was about 5 or 6 when she adopted him. So he was pretty young.
Right. Wow.
And then I want to say in 75, and I only know this because, like I said, I have read the fan club and all that. So you kind of put dates together for different things. So I want to say in, like, 1975, she had her first child, which is her daughter, her only daughter, Kirkessa. And then in 76 or 77, she had her second child, Pedro Jr. And then I can't remember exactly what year. I want to say either 78 or 79, she had her last child, Rafael, who passed away in 1994. Or around then. I don't want to say a certain date.
Right, but just unfortunately. Yeah, wow, what a sad story. Wow. So now I have to say, yes, go right ahead, Nicholas.
Now I want to say you asked if I spoke to any of her children.
Right.
Her son, Pedro, I never spoke to. Willie, I spoke to him on Facebook. He interacts with all the fans on Facebook. So I've spoken to him on Facebook, but only child I spoke to on the phone is Turkessa, and that was only because Turkessa runs Mary's business. So Turkessa is technically like HR or corporate, if you want to call it like that. So anyone who's hired or fired goes through paid and payroll and all that. Bookings kind of go through Turkessa.
So she was essentially running Mary Wilson's business, if you will.
Yes.
Part.
And
okay.
I just talked to her about being paid.
Got it.
I was supposed to talk to her in November. Never got a call. December, never got a call or email. January, never got a call or email. And then the day Mary died, which I didn't even know, sitting there talking to her, that she was in the house dead.
Well, let's talk. Do you mind if I ask you about this? So the idea was that Mary had Mary instructed her daughter. Now, all of this is alleged. We, of course, want to get that on out there. But had Mary told her, do you think, to go ahead and make payment for you?
from what Mary told me she had.
Mary told you she had, but...
From what Mary...
Yeah.
I want to say this. Tracessa knew about me because when we first talked on the phone, which was February 8th, she said, I'm sorry it's taken me so long to get in contact with you. I, you know, I'm a mother and I have children, so, you know, I've been busy with them. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, Mary's told me about them. Her children are, I think her youngest is my age, if I'm not mistaken. Or her oldest is my age, one of them. But,
okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, did you ever get that payment at that time, though?
No.
The payment never made its way to you?
The check never reached my bank account.
Wow.
But,
interesting.
You, I only, what I discussed with Mary was being that I only did physical work when I got there in January. What I discussed with her was being paid starting when I got to Vegas in January. So I only was going to have, going to be paid maybe the $1,500, you know, for that month. Or a little bit less than that. So it really wasn't like I was missing anything.
Right, that's true, because you really hadn't gotten quite through the month so much.
Right.
Wow.
It wasn't like anything like, oh, my God, I need my money. You know, you're supposed to
Right.
It was never, I said in the beginning, I never did this for money. I only did this job for free.
And I would have done it for free, exactly. I mean, my goodness.
I do have to live, but, no, I would have did it for
free.
I'd have figured out something, you know, to make some money.
Absolutely. Well, I have to ask you, you know, as the story unfolds and you had some conversations with her daughter, who was kind of running things. Now, it's a few weeks in. What was the circumstance that you went out to Mary's house that day? Were you guys scheduled to have a meeting on February 8th? It was a Monday morning.
I'm sorry.
No, please, go right ahead.
It was a Monday morning. I really wouldn't call it a meeting. I just call it like a regular work day because it wasn't my scheduled days. I was scheduled to go to her house every other day. So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and if I couldn't do one of those days during the week. Or weekends if she needed me for something, like if she was doing a Zoom and she needed my help, or she was doing some type of house project or something that she needed me to do. But the set days were Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And
awesome. Okay.
Monday
wow.
Was
of February, yes.
Go to work. The last day we would get
Monday, Saturday, Monday, February 8th of 2021. Oh, why did I say 2018? I'm sorry, 2021. Yes, of course. Yes. So now that Monday,
Tuesday,
yeah.
That's that previous Friday because. So I left February 15th to go to Vegas. I was actually, kind of like staying in two places. I had my apartment, but I also was staying with my aunt because the job I was working at was closer to her house, which was like maybe like 2 hours from mine. I was staying with her, and also just to get out the house, I mean, I was in my apartment all the time, so yeah, I went down to stay with her. She was near Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
She passed away the week after I got to Vegas.
Oh, my, wow.
My cousin's 21st birthday party, they were in the middle of the party. She was dancing and fell out in the middle of the floor and had a heart attack.
Wow, how awful.
So I flew back to Ohio for the funeral. And then I had got back that Friday before the, so what was that, like 6th February?
Mm.
And then...
Probably the 5th, so yeah. Well, that, the well, Monday was the 8th, right? So
yeah.
That would have probably been like the 5th then, right?
Yeah.
Friday, 5th, 6th, 7th. Yeah, so like the 5th on that Friday.
Yeah, so that 5th I had to go back in. Now, Mary did drop me off the airport that time. And then when I got back, I took an Uber and got to my cousin's house. But she dropped me off the airport to go to, you know, go back home.
Okay.
And her words were, you know, don't worry about me. You know, we're not really busy right now doing anything. So, you know, I know how close you guys were. So I want you to go back home for the funeral. So... And that's what I mean, and I wanted to say that because that's what I mean by how caring she was. Cause she was like,
now, did Mary drive a car, by the way?
Yeah, she had a Mercedes.
Okay.
It was a silver Mercedes.
Wow. Wow. So now she drives, so you you go back home for the funeral, and then you come back out to Vegas again.
Yeah. Because I wasn't planning on staying in Ohio. I was going for the funeral and then coming back.
Right.
You
okay.
Know, my idea was, you know, I was coming, you know, going home for a moment and coming back to go to work. So Friday, she called me, you know, how did you make it in? And I said, yeah, I made it in. And she said, were you coming over? And I said, well, I forgot. I completely forgot about that. I'm in the bed. I was kind of asleep. And I said, okay, well, so I'm really not feeling well anyway, so you can just come tomorrow. And it's like, no, come today. And it's like, no, come tomorrow. And I was getting ready to say, make up your mind, woman. But she,
right.
She was like, no, just come tomorrow. That way I can have everything ready for you. So I really don't have anything ready for you at the moment. I said, okay. So we hung up. And the Saturday 6th, I get up like usual. And so I was, you know, getting ready to go to her house at 11 o'clock. Then, you know, regular day, I get to her house, and she's like, you know, sorry, I haven't had any babies yet, you know, so, you know, don't mind me. I said, no, you're fine. And she said, I do want you to run a few errands for me. She said, but first I want to look at this thermostat because I think it's broken. I'm so cold. Like, she kept, just kept saying, I'm cold, I'm cold. And
that's what she said to you?
No.
So now, just, yeah. I'm sorry, so she said she was cold. Did that raise any kind of flags or anything?
No. And it didn't raise any flags for two reasons. One, the thermostat was broken. And two, I did not know of her prior health history. Being that I never talked to anyone and Mary never told me about it, I didn't know she had heart problems or anything like that. So,
wow.
But I, you know, looked at them and said, I'm like, I pressed it, I pressed lock, everything. I'm like, you know, it's not staying. It keeps dropping down. So I'm like, well, you know, maybe you get you, mean, yeah, she's like, you have, well, I had access to the only space heaters. And she said, no, I think I have one in the garage, actually. And I said, okay, I'll go look. And I moved everything in the garage, like moved everything around. And I don't remember seeing a space heater, but I went out there and looked anyway because maybe it was something that I did not pay attention to because it probably was something I didn't touch. So I looked and I said, I don't see one. And so I said, okay. So she said, well, I do want you to run these errands for me. It was like go to the grocery store, go to the post office, and then go to somewhere else. Oh, go get the car washed. So she's like, you do have your license, right? And I said, yeah, I have my license. And she said, okay. She gave me the keys. And she said, well, you know, go to the post office first, go to the P.O. box first, pick up my mail, go to the grocery store for me. She wrote out, she texted me the list that she wanted of stuff. And then go to get the car washed. That's exactly what I did. By the time I got back, the sun started going down. And told her, I said, I called her. I said, the P.O. box had had a sign on the door saying that they were closed on Saturdays. And she said, oh, yeah, I forgot they changed their times. And she said, okay, well, when you come over Monday, we can go to the P.O. box and get the mail. I said, okay. So I told her, I said, you texted me and asked me for Orange Fellow. What is Orange Fellow? And I said, I looked it up and it came up with some wine. And I asked the store person, do they have it? He said, no. And she said, what are you talking about? And I said, Orange Fellow. That's what you texted me and said. And she said, no, I meant to say Orange Jello. Sorry. She said it was the autocorrect on the phone. And I said, oh, okay. So I got the Orange Jello. And we started laughing about that. And then she asked, she said, it's random, but do they have Casablanca's thing about the, I'm thinking about the movie. And I said, I can look in the movie section to see if they have it. And she started laughing again, and she said, no, flowers. She said, they're Casablanca lilies. And I said, I said, no, I don't know. I don't know what those look like. I'll ask. So I told her, I said, hold on a minute. So I asked the florist at the grocery store. And the grocery store in Vegas that I went to was Cartesons. So I asked the florist at the grocery store, do you have Casablanca lilies? And she kind of looked at me. She was like, those are special request flowers. And I said, so she said, you have to go to an actual florist to get those. And I said, okay. And I told her what she said. And she said, okay. Well, she said, well, I told her, I said, the lady is writing up a few florists for me to call, so I'll call Monday. She said, okay, that's fine, that works. So she said, well, thank you so much. And I said, no, you're welcome. Was, you know, of course. And then we hung up, went to quit the car wash, vacuumed the car out, got back to the house and told her. When I got back to the house, she was in the bed. And she was like, you know, I just really don't feel good. It's like it's getting colder and colder in here. And like I said, the thermostat is broken. So I said, no, it didn't raise any red flags to me.
Now, this was, which day again was this? Which day? Was this Saturday?
Yes, this was still Saturday. This was all still Saturday.
Okay. Yes, and she was kept saying it's getting colder and colder.
Yeah. So, like I said, I just kept thinking the thermostat, well, she did say this, because when I got to Vegas, I had on shorts and she had on a winter coat. It was cold.
Wow.
But to me, it was warm, because how it was like 50, 60 degrees, but to Vegas, that's cold.
Right, right. And I lived out in L.A., so right. Oh, my. Okay,
that,
so
you know, that,
it might have just been that she was a little chilly. Might not have had any, no indication that that the end was near.
Yeah, I didn't think that. That wasn't anything near my first. And then
right, of course not.
Because Turquesa had the information for the person to come fix the thermostat. So I talked to her about that. I told her, and she didn't seem to have any type of, like, you know, concern of, like, you know, we'll go, you know.
Right,
what,
right.
What do you mean? What do you mean, you know? So it wasn't like anything was off, if that makes sense. So I, you know, get in the house, and it's about 5 o'clock, and my time to be with her was 11 to 4. And she's like, I know we talked about 11 to 4, but can you, do you mind staying and helping me with a few more things? I said, yeah, of course. And she was like, there's a spot on the floor by the chair that I sit in. I spilled some blueberry juice, the juice to the blueberries that she had on the floor. And I said, okay, I'll you know, scrub that up, and I don't mind doing that. She's like, are you sure? She's like, I don't want you to... No, she said, she's like, just wait a moment, because I want you to set up my TV for me. She wanted me to set up Hulu and Netflix on her TV. But she told me about the spot, and she's like, I'll get up and cleaned up when I get up. And I said, no, I'll do it. But just tell me where everything is at. She's like, are you sure? Because, like, I don't want you guys to do it. And I said, I definitely don't mind. And she's like, well, can you bring me my medicine? What medicine that is, I really don't know, but it was like a prescription bottle. So I don't know what that was. But I brought her medicine and a cup of water. And it didn't seem like anything out of the ordinary. It just seemed like how I would do with my grandma, my great-grandma. So she eventually does come into the living room, sits in the chair. And she's like, I have this steak in the refrigerator. Can you cook that for me? You know, since you say you can cook. And I put the steak on. And we're sitting there talking. And, you know, I'm sorry that I'm keeping you so late. Because by this time, about 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. And I'm like, no. I'm like, honestly, I don't know if I told you this before, but being with you, being around you, reminds me of being around my grandparents, my great-grandma and my grandma, who all passed away prior to me coming out to Vegas. And it kind of is like I get that time back with them, with you. So I appreciate that. And I said, no, I said, definitely don't mind doing anything you need me to do. And I said, if you ever need me to stay later past the time that we have scheduled, I'm not going to ever ask you for extra money to do that. I'm doing it because I want to. Which I appreciate that. So then she went on again about being cold. And she said, come here and feel me. Touched her arm, and her arm was cold. So, sorry. So her arm was cold. So I was like, are you sure you don't want me to go get you a space heater? And she said, no. And then she was like, feel my nose. It's cold, too. So I felt her nose, and it was cold. So I'm like, are you sure? Because I definitely don't mind running to Walmart or Target to go get you one. At least after, I mean, like, I looked him up while we were sitting, here. Like, only $20. So I definitely don't mind going to go get you one. So she was like, yeah, if you really don't mind, please. So I went to Target. Target was cool. By the time I got to Target, it was like 10 o'clock, and they were closed. So I went to Walmart. Walmart had space heaters. I think it was like $9. So I ended up getting two. And I set up one right by her chair, and I set up one on her her like island in her kitchen. And by the time I got back, it was about 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock, 11:30. And she said, I want to say something to you before you go. Well, actually, the first thing she said was, well, do you want to stay the night? She said, being out so late, and I wouldn't want you out so late. And I said, no, it's fine. I mean, if I can get an Uber, I definitely don't, you know, it doesn't matter. And so, are you sure? And I said, yeah, it doesn't matter. And she said, well, you know that extra bedroom is yours whenever you need it. I said, no, I know, because she had already discussed that with me. So she had asked again, so you don't want to stay the night? And I said that time, no, because I don't have any clothes or a toothbrush with me. So I told her what she said was, well, Monday when you come over, bring a bag with you of clothes and a toothbrush to keep here so that if you ever do need to stay the night, you have clothes in the extra room. I said, okay, I can do that. Yeah, I definitely don't mind doing that. That's going to be a little bit more convenient than having to drive home and drive back. Because what I could have did was I could have took her car and drove when I was already out to go get clothes at my cousin's house, because the Walmart I went to was right by his apartment. But it wasn't brought up then, and I didn't think about it. So she was like, well, I did tell her, I said, my Uber did connect, so he should be here in about 5 minutes. And so she said, I want to tell you something. I know I told you to give me about a few months to see if we work out as you being my assistant, but she said, after today, I definitely think that we're going to work out, so you are definitely my assistant, and you will something like she's like, I appreciate, you know, everything that you've done. And that was the last thing she said. I said, do you want me to lock this door? Because I couldn't lock the door from the outside because I need a key to lock from the outside because it's only a bolt lock, the top lock. And she said, no, when I get up to go to the bathroom, I'll get up and lock the door. So we take a night, and that was it. Sunday.
That was Saturday night.
That was Saturday night.
So what happened on Sunday? There was no, yeah.
I didn't have any communication with her. I didn't, you know, because it was, like I said.
It was your day off, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Monday morning, here we are Monday morning, and I know that you have mentioned about going to the P.O. box and all of that and you know, and lending a hand, and it's your work day. So what time did you head over there?
Around 10 o'clock. I texted her.
10 o'clock.
I said, hey, good morning. I said, hey, good morning.
Uh-huh. Now, I do want to ask you about the house. Was this a big house? Was it a row type house? So what did, can you describe it?
It was
a gated community.
But, it wasn't a big house. It was like an average four bedroom. No, sorry, three bedroom, one floor. Three bedroom, two bathroom, one floor house.
Okay, so it sounds nice. Okay.
It was not, like I said earlier, Mary Wilson the celebrity, Mary Wilson the Supreme, and Auntie Mary were two different people.
Mary
Wilson Supreme, I would thought she had a big, grand, elaborate house. But being that when you really think about it, she is a woman, an older woman, living alone. It was enough, I felt enough for her.
Understandable. So now I wanted to ask you also, how was her home decorated? Was there a lot of memorabilia about the Supremes all over all the walls? I think you mentioned it earlier where there was pictures of Diana Ross. But were there other things that you noticed? What about her clothing and stuff? Did she have a lot of the old outfits from her days as a Supreme?
Well, the old outfits are in her storage unit. I want to say the storage unit is in L.A., so that's not those costumes are not in her, weren't in her home, but she did have, you know, her clothes and, you know, she had a bunch of shoes and wigs, and we sat and went through those clothes together.
Personal effects, I was saying.
Yeah.
Listen, I think this is just interesting. I have to say, you have to tell us that Monday when you went into work about 10, I think you said,
I didn't go in at 10. I woke up around 10. And
oh, you woke up?
Well, the first thing I did is text her and said, hey, good morning.
Uh-huh.
Did you want me to go to the P.O. box before I got to your house, or you told me to go take the car and go? Because the P.O. box was on the way from where I was living to her house. I had to pass by it, literally, to go to it. So it only made sense for me to pick up the mail and then go to her house. So my cousin, he was home. My cousin's a traveling chef. And so he was actually home that day. And he was like, well, cuz I'm a barbecue. You know, since I haven't been home, I'm a barbecue. I'm like, okay. So I'm making macaroni and cheese, greens. I think I made black baked beans, and I'm making all the side dishes. He was making all of the, like, the meat and things like that on the grill. And out of the time, and it was 11 o'clock, I said, oh, shoot, I'm late. And I said, I didn't have the Uber requested. I wasn't dressed, nothing. So he was like, oh, yeah, you better get over there. So I called, no answer. So So I'm like, maybe she's, you know, maybe she just didn't answer the phone. She never texted me back about the P.O. box. But again, I didn't think anything of it.
Now, about what time was that you had texted her again about the P.O. box?
Well, that was at 10 o'clock when I had first woke up.
That was the first time. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, when I first woke up, I just...
No answer, no response.
Mm-mm. And like I said, I didn't...
And that was unusual, though, no? But wasn't that unusual?
No. Because there was a few times where I sat with Mary and her phone ring, and she was like, well, I'll call them back later.
Got it.
So, and like I said, it was 10 o'clock in the morning. I thought she was maybe still asleep.
Okay, wow.
I mean, the only reason why I was up because I had to go to her house. I'm a night person. You're not a night person. I'm a late sleeper.
Yeah, okay, wow. Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow. So now, at what point do you head over to Mary's house
on that awful day? So,
okay.
It was after 11, and like I said, I was late. So, I get there around like 11:20, maybe, and knock on the door. Well, I'm on the phone with Terkessa, actually, because we were talking about the gate code. Never, in the 3 weeks I had been there, the gate code that I had received never worked for me. The way I'd get into the gate is if someone else was driving up and had like a button.
You could go behind them.
I could go behind them. Or Mary would pick me up or whatever. That's usually how I would get in. So, like I said, the gate code never worked. And she's like, you sure? So she gave me another one. That one didn't work. So she's like, well, just drive up with how you usually get in, and then we'll go from there next week or later this week. I said, okay. So I get to the house, knock on the door. This time we're off. So I knock on the door, no answer. Knock on the door, no answer. So I call, no answer. So I call Terkessa. I said, hey, do you mind calling your mom because she's not answering the phone for me? I called and knocked on the door. She's not answering. She's like, with the car in the driveway? And I said, well, I moved all the boxes in the garage so that she could move the car into the garage. And she said, oh, yeah, I forgot that you. She said she was having you do that. She said, okay, well, I'll call her. So I hear the phone ring, no answer. The house phone is ringing, I should say. No answer. So she said, well, maybe she said, does she have an interview or something like that or something booked this morning? And I said, I don't think so because from what we discussed, she didn't have anything. She said, maybe something just surprisingly came up. She's like, is she doing that? Because she would do this, like, little, like, live podcast. She's like, is she doing that live podcast? And I said, I don't think so. Because it wasn't in what we discussed. So she said, I said, okay, I will. I said, well, what do you mean to do? You mean to wait until she wakes up? If she's sleep or until she gets back home? And she said, no, you don't have to wait. You can just go back home. So while I'm waiting for my Uber, we're talking on the phone and talking about, she's getting to know me. I'm getting to know a little bit about her. And we're discussing my pay and my expectations of them and all this. And like I said, this is the first time me and her has had a conversation about payment or anything like that. So we're discussing this. My Uber comes, and I told her, I said, well, my Uber's here, and we kind of ended the conversation anyway by the time my Uber came. We kind of were just talking at that point. So I get back to my cousin's house. By the time I got back, the food was done. So we're sitting there eating. And about 2 hours later, she calls me and says, hey, me and my husband have been calling her. She's not answering the phone still. And now we're getting concerned. Do you mind going back over there? I said, no, I don't mind. Just give me a moment. I got to take another Uber. She said, okay. So My cousin goes, "You think something's wrong?" And I said, "No. No, no." He's, when I got back, actually, he said, "You think something's wrong?" I said, "No." I said, "She's probably just not home." He said, "Okay." And then when I told him I'm going back over there, he asked again. He's like, "You think something's wrong?" And I'm like, "No." But obviously, I don't want to think about it, so I'm not even thinking about it. I drive, well, not drive, but I get an Uber, go back over there. I was tired at this point, so I end up falling asleep in the Uber. I could see when I woke up, he was looking at me out of the rearview mirror, like,
wow.
So, by the time I got back over there, it was about 5 o'clock. And the sun had started
in the afternoon.
And, yeah, the sun had started going down and everything like that. And I called her and I was like, "Hey, I'm here. I knocked on the door. There's no answer." She was like, "Well, you said the car isn't in the driveway." She said, "No, no, it's in the garage." She was like, "Well, is there any way to like get in the garage or see through the garage?" And I said, "No." She said, "Okay." She said, "What about the windows? Can you see anything from the front door?" And I said, "No. There's this wall that blocks kind of like the living room. There's a front window by the front door, but there was a wall that blocked like the view into the living room, if that makes sense."
Got it. Yes.
So she's like, "Well, go around to the back and look through the windows." My only thought was, you know, I'm in this neighborhood. I don't know anybody in this neighborhood. Nobody knows me. You know, all you see is this man walking in the back looking through the windows. That's not suspicious at all. So I'm like, "Are you sure?" And she's like, "Yeah, could you please?" So I looked through the windows. Her bathroom light was on, so you could see through that window. I want to say this first. All of her windows, at least in the back of the house, were tinted. So you couldn't see through them. Unless you got up close or there was light on.
Okay, got it.
So her bedroom, I could see through completely because there was lights on. The light was on. And she's like, "Well, look through the, what about the patio doors? Can you look through them and see anything?" And I said, "No, it's dark in the living room." So I was like, "There is a window by her chair. I'll look through that." So I got close and I looked through that window. And I'm like, I kind of see like a shadow of like, I don't know if it's her feet or it's like a figure. And that's all I see, is like, but it's pointing downward. And then she said, "What do you mean?" And I'm like, "Okay, so if this is what it is," I said, "so you know how you lay down and you're laying on your back and your feet point up?"
Yeah.
This is like she's laying on her stomach and her feet are pointing down. And she's like, "Okay, well, is there any other way you can get into the house?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, let me call the realtor and I'll call you back." So she calls me back. She tells me to call, you know, to call the police. So the police come, the fire department comes, and the ambulance come. I explained to them on the phone what I saw. I probably was stuttering the whole time because at this point I'm nervous.
Of course.
I've never had to do this before. I want to say this. I've never, so it was weird to me. So then that's when the police, they all come. And I can't remember who followed me to the back, but it was about a good 3 or 4 men followed me. And I explained to them what I saw, and they looked at me like I was crazy when I said I looked through the window, couldn't really see anything, but I saw feet. So I'm like, they're like, okay. So I told them, I said, "If you get real close and look, you could see the shadow or the outline of her feet or someone's feet." So I guess he did see, because as soon as he looked at his other, as soon as he got, you know, stopped looking at, through the window, he looked at his, the other person who was there, and that's when the other person shined the flashlight through the window, and that's when I saw her face.
And her face was facing down on the other side of like an ottoman or what happened?
So what she had is her chair, and she had an ottoman connected to her chair. Well, not connected, but it was like in front of her chair.
Right,
and
right.
Where her face was, wasn't, it's like how you lay on a pillow. You lay on your, on like on your ear, the side of your face.
Right.
That's how she was laying, but on the cushion of the chair.
I see, but over the ottoman.
Yes.
Got it. Like somebody has slid down, so to speak, into...
Slid down
onto
or
the
down or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. How sad. How sad. Did you remember the expression or anything? Could you remember this?
Honestly, it looked like she was asleep.
Wow.
So it wasn't
just
like,
a peaceful sleep.
Kind of like distress or anything in her face or anything like that. It was like she was asleep.
Wow. Wow. So at this point, they, of course, come in all the emergency folks, and, you know, this is huge news. What's the first thing that really went through your mind after the emergency folks said that it seemed that she had passed? Did they share that with you right away?
They did. I was on the phone with my mom. I was on the phone with her up and down. I would call Turquesta and call my mom, or Turquesta would call me that I'm hanging with my mom and kind of like that. So I went off with my mom, and I walked outside. The police officer, I do remember that. It was a police officer. It was short, a short, fat police officer. I don't know why I remember that, but it's the only thing I remember of, like, a visual of a person. And he walked outside, and he said, sorry for your loss. She did pass away. I said, oh. I said, well, I say with oh.
Well, you were surprised and in shock. So that's, you know, you could have said something, you know, happy birthday. I mean, you just, you don't know what's going to come out of your mouth at a time like that.
Right, right.
Wow.
And my mom was like, well, what did you say? And I said, she died. And my mom was like, well, are you okay? And I'm like, I don't know. And then she goes, what are you thinking about? And I'm like, trying to explain how I'm going to explain this to her. How am I going to call her daughter and tell her daughter this?
Yeah, that's a real difficult thing, but it was your job to do. It was your job to do. So you call her back right away, or you wait a little while?
I hung up from my mom, and I did call her back because I kind of was like, it's like one of those, like, just rip the band-aid off moments and just kind of just do it, because it kind of was, I didn't know what to say. So I was trying to figure out what to say. So as the phone is ringing, I'm like, what do I say? What do I say? And then she says hello, and I said she died.
And what was it? Silence on the phone?
Yep, it was complete silence, and then all you heard was her voice crack, and she started to cry. And then that's when I started to break down.
Wow.
And then her husband grabbed the phone and said, hey, Nick, we're going to have to call you back. Because they were already, they lived in California, so they were already on their way here. Well, not here, but to Vegas. To, you know, make sure everything was okay.
Wow.
So,
what a...
That's when I called my mom back, and I told her. And then it seemed like after that, my phone did not stop ringing.
Really? Why?
The publicist calling. And
Mary's publicist.
Yes, the publicist calling. He was pleasant the first time we spoke. He was. the publicist calling, then the my family calling, other people.
Well,
other people
without saying the publicist's name, but what was it that the publicist was instructing you? Don't mention his name, though.
Oh, no. Okay. No, he was telling me, you know, to pretty much, you know, just don't say anything. And I told him, I said, well, I really don't know much to say. And he said, okay. So, like, I just want to make sure you know that, you know, if anyone says anything or anything like that, I just went to, you know, just tell them to either call me or call Turquesa. I said, okay. He was like, Turquesa should be on her way. So, like I said, it was pleasant. And then, like I said, after that was kind of a blur. I remember getting being nervous because the police officer opened his back door and said, you know, get in. And I'm thinking is, oh my God, I'm under arrest. What did I, you know, what happened? Mm-hmm. I said, I've never been in a situation like this before, so I don't know what to think.
Mm.
And so I'm on the phone with my mom, and I'm like, well, they have me sitting in the police car. And he could tell I was hesitant to get in. And he was like, no, 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 you're not in trouble or anything. He's like, I know it. He's like, it's starting to get dark outside and it's cold. And you have shorts on, so I just wanted to just keep warm. And I said, oh, okay. So,
wow.
I'm sitting in the car, he's in the front seat, and the police officer calls his family, and he's just like, I just want to tell you because I love you. So it was kind of like one of those moments of, like, you know, I don't know who he called, but it was like one of those, like, maybe it hit home for him or something. And like I said, the only reason why I can remember him is because it's the only person I really had an encounter with as far as, like, physically talking to.
Right. Wow.
But there was one man who knew who she was, and he was another police officer, and he goes, he's like, man, he was like, the music industry suffered a big loss. He was like, I'm sorry for your loss also. He was like, my mom goes, what did he say? Like, he knew who she was. And she's like, oh, Lord. And I said, well, he went to school. I guess I went to school with, that's what he said. He said, I went to school with her children.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the only person I could say that in the time of us being around each other, anyone identified her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, what happened after all of this happened? Did you stay out in Las Vegas for any length of time? How has this affected your life?
Honestly, I couldn't. The Vegas was depressing.
Yeah. You had grown very fond of her. You'd grown very fond of her, yeah.
Well, it wasn't even just the 3 years. It was, like I said, I looked up to her in 2008.
Absolutely, absolutely,
so,
yeah.
So I built the connection as a kid. And
yeah,
then the personal connection as an adult.
Exactly. And you can hear that in your telling and recounting this story. I'm just blown away. Now, I have to ask you, have you had any contact with any of these folks since that period?
Actually, yes. I called the publicist, actually, not too long ago. I manage, mm-hmm. At the present time, I manage a rapper.
An artist, surgery. Yeah. Okay.
And I was talking to a producer I met in L.A., and he also works with a female who is a rapper and singer. And we were thinking of a possible collaboration, and he was like, I would love to do something like an R&B song that could be like, you know, turned into a hip-hop song. And I said, well, there's only one song I could think of that comes to mind when you say that was turned into a hip-hop song, and that was Can't Take My Eyes Off of You by
Frankie Valli, I think, in the fourth season. Right.
The Supremes redid it with the Temptations, where Mary Wilson sang lead, and if I'm not mistaken, Eddie Kendricks and Mary Wilson did a duet on that. And then
I have to look for that.
Hill turned into a hip hop song.
Right. Like in the 90s, I think they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had contacted the publicist to see if he knew any information about who I had to contact to get rights to use songs, or did I have to get rights to use songs.
I mean, right, for licensing and all of that. Yeah, so he was open to the idea of working with you on that.
He was open to, no, he was pleasant in those conversations, but everything prior, no, actually, it was to the point where I changed my phone number.
Oh, my.
So the phone number that you have was not my original phone number.
Wow, that is amazing. Well, I have to tell you, the one thing that I have to turn to this, and is this something that has stayed with you? Because to me, you know, I might find it at times, you know, like you've lost someone who, she was a loved one on a certain level to you. So do you find from time to time that you're affected, you know, has it affected you like that on that level, or is this something that you can kind of, you know, compartmentalize, so to speak? So how have you been since all of this?
I will say, when I was in Vegas, I cried almost every time I thought about it, whether I was crying, going to sleep, or waking up, panic attacks, different things, because I just kept re-seeing her face in that chair.
That was definitely
the first time I saw a newscast, and it was like a newscast. It was like they post on Facebook like such and such passed away.
Right,
goes,
right.
Mary Wilson of the Supremes, founding member of the Supremes, has died. And then my heart dropped. Like I said before, it was like losing two different people. I always had, as a kid, this dream of Diana and Mary getting back together to do something. So when it was, when she said that.
Well, how much after that? So how long after she died that was reported that she died, that you saw that posting on Facebook or on social media?
About a week.
Oh, okay.
You
had stayed off. Okay, got it.
But I ended up leaving Vegas in April for the reason of everywhere I went, there was some type of reminding. We was at TGI Fridays, and there was this big, huge picture of the Supremes sitting right behind me. And I didn't realize it until I turned around and looked up, and then there it was. Little things like that just kept, and I just couldn't. I had to go back home to get my hair together. I was alone. Although I lived with my cousin next to my cousin, was a traveling chef. So he felt bad because the day she died, he had to go to Chicago to a gig. But I was in Vegas. I didn't know anybody in Vegas. I moved to Vegas for her. So it's kind of like, what am I here for, honestly? I had no motivation to really do anything, honestly. So what my what I felt was best for me was to come back home and get my head together. Did I want to come back to Ohio? No. But I felt like it was the best thing for me to do mentally. And I will say, everything since I've been back has been nothing but great. And looking up, honestly, and it honestly has nothing to really do with her or, well, actually, there is one thing that has to do with her, I feel like, but it's just me. Me, mentally, I feel a lot better.
And time is the best healer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And remember how I was telling about, you know, things coming full circle?
Yes.
And how she was telling me, you know, she's preparing me for what I'll be doing in the future.
Yes.
What she was showing me was how to, like, put together press kits, well, an EPK, electronic press kit.
Sure, sure.
She was showing me how to send emails and, you know, blind CC and the difference between...
She was doing something amazing. I mean, Mary was in her 70s, and to be that technologically savvy... and being able to, when you said texting, I'm like, goodness, I mean, I can barely text at this age. So that is awesome. She was remarkable.
You know, she was showing me how to do all these different things. And
wow.
October was hosting October 28th, I want to say, I was hosting a Halloween party, 28th, 29th, something like that. I was hosting a Halloween party, and I asked this guy I knew from here. I asked him if he would want to perform at the party. And he responded, yes. And then he also responded after, you know, further down the conversation, would you want to be my manager? I'm like, okay. And as I'm thinking, the first thing he mentions is, I've seen everything that you did with Mary Wilson or meeting her and the Supremes and, you know, everything you do, you know, post about them and all that. He was like, I really like that. He's like, I see that you network with all these different people. He's like, I want someone like you on my team. Very similar to what she told me when she hired me as her assistant. So there's that coincidence right there. Very similar to what she said. And then the year that me and him met was the exact same year me and her met. In 2019.
That's amazing.
I had a birthday party at my apartment, and my best friend and her boyfriend, they came over and they stayed the night at my apartment, and I had, let's have a party tonight. And she said, okay. So her boyfriend was like, well, can I invite some of my friends? And I said, yeah, sure. You see who all here? And it was just me, him, and her. I said, you see, I ain't got no friends, so invite whoever you want. And so he started laughing. He was like, okay. So he invited his friend, and his friend Tyler, who was Sir James, came. And that's where we met. It was kind of weird to me because I've never really seen someone excited about, but they saw I had this big collage of the Supremes albums on my wall. And they were like, wow, this is cool. And we actually discussed that when we sat down and met to discuss me being his manager. I hated that apartment. I just felt something about that apartment just had bad vibes to me, and I just, the energy of it just made me feel down and depressed. And the whole 2 years I lived there, something about that apartment just did not seem right to me.
Wow.
I did not like it, didn't want to be there at all. So I said, yeah, well, I don't mind being your manager. So I was like, well, let's just meet in person and have, you know, to talk, because we had not seen each other since we saw each other at my apartment 3 years prior to, 3-4 years prior to this Halloween party or whatever. So we sit down and we meet at Denny's, and I had just got off work, so that was the only restaurant that was open. We made it Denny's, and we're sitting there talking, and from the beginning, he's like, you know, I see everything that you've done with the Supremes, or you talked about the Supremes and how dedicated you are to them. He was like, someone like you is who I want, someone who could be dedicated to me and, you know, help me better myself and my career. And I told him what I would expect out of him if I'm going to be working with him. And he said, I can do that. And it wasn't anything complicated. It was more so just what I am installing in him is the method that Maxine Powell installed into every single Motown artist of how to present yourself as not only a person, but an artist to the public. Certain things.
Well, Nicholas, let me jump in and ask you. So what are you looking for down the road? What would you like? Because this is, something that, as I said, is going to stay with you. It would stay with me. What are you looking for this lesson to be and what are you looking down the road to accomplish for yourself? What would make Styles happy?
The lesson I got out of this is that, this lesson I got out of it, as well as that I want to push forward to everyone. Never let anyone or anything deter you from your dreams. Because even if it's the smallest thing, if it's something that you have your mindset to do, do it. Because that's one thing she kept trying to install in me, as well as other people in my life, too. All my life, I've always had that. But that's kind of what I got out of it. And then for me, for the future, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't see myself really being a manager, maybe more of a mentor. And I feel like that's what I kind of am for him, for Sir James. I'm more of a mentor than I am a manager. I'm helping him, you know, further his career, getting shows and things like that. But I see myself, like I said, more as a mentor, a guider, so that he can be ready for that. But I see myself, you know, owning my own boutique, and honestly, ultimately, I'm just happy. I really don't really have any big goals, I guess you could say, just happiness in that sense.
And you've got to remember, folks out there, Nicholas is still a very, very young man. He's still very young. You have your whole life ahead of you, and many times to start over and over and over again. So, and, you know, when I listen to your story and the whole thing with Mary Wilson of the Supremes, and looking at you and kind of knowing that she wanted to mentor you, to me it seems as though someone was not so much aware of their own mortality, but that they knew they wanted to pass along. I think the older that we get, and God forbid if there's any illness or anything like that, we want to share what we know with the younger generation, with someone who can carry my story or your story forward. I think that's the idea. And so I think to me it sounded as if she was privy to that notion, and I think that's why you were the person. And so your lives will forever be touched. Literally, they crossed, you know, they intersected, if you will. And that is a remarkable story. I am just blown away. And Nicholas Stiles, one thing that we did not disclose just yet is that you will be helping us right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we're so excited. We're going to fill you guys in on all of that in times and days to come. But I just have to say, this has been a remarkable story, and I'm sure your story will continue and go on. And so thank you. Nicholas, anything you want to leave us with today?
My favorite quote from Mary Wollstonecraft, since this is the subject at hand, my favorite quote from her is, "Dreams do come true. People just have to keep dreaming." And that's all I have to say.
Okay, well, on that note, I want to thank Mr. Nicholas Stiles for being with us on today's broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show. His incredible story in the last days, literally, of a singing icon and supreme singer, Mary Wilson. So again, thank you so much, Nicholas, and we will continue to follow your story right here at our morning show. Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Asway's Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand-new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Kerry Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
It's time to rise and shine with The Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines.
All right, we're back live. It is Friday morning, February 4th, 2022. It is our show number 667. So let me just let that kind of sink in a bit. Show number 667 as we march towards our show number 700. And I've got a breakdown for you coming up in just a bit. I have to tell you, I'm sitting here just reeling from listening to Nicholas Stiles' story along with all of you guys out there. Just amazing. It never gets old for me. Nicholas was with us recently, and I've heard this recount, and every time it gets me, especially towards the end of the story. As I mentioned in the piece, Nicholas will be with us very soon, and I just want to bring a couple of points to the surface on this. As I said, Nicholas is a young man. This is not somebody who you're thinking Supremes, so he must be like 80. Nicholas is about 23 or 24 years old. So music does not have certain boundaries associated with it. And this is a young man who is an old soul, his own self-description, but he's also got to throw in, you know, what's going on with this younger generation. And he's bringing all of that along with his, he's a stylist as well. So he'll be bringing a lot of that. He's a makeup stylist, makeup artist. So he'll bring all of that to the Hair Radio Morning Show in addition to his commentary. By the way, he is also going to talk to the author of the book that was written all about the lady who died, Florence Ballard, who was also a member of the Supremes. You heard him talk about it. Her daughter wrote a book. And so Nicholas is going to talk to that author as well as potentially the daughter. So we're going to continue with this. He is an incredible resource, and we're happy to have him on our broadcast. He'll be with us very soon. Speaking of folks who are coming to the show, I really need to give you these important quick updates on what you can expect to hear. First of all, we just heard back. So I just heard back yesterday from Beverly Hills, California, the camp of Dr. Obeng, where, you know, Jessica, you guys know her better as the Gorilla Glue Girl, where she had sought her treatment. And the miracle doctor, Dr. Obeng, who, you know, really got down and solved this big issue for her. And he was on our show 1 year ago when everybody was scammering over him. He did the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I have a very special place in my heart for Dr. Obeng and his entire team out in Beverly Hills. And he doesn't know this, but he's gonna be. I'm gonna be traveling out there and do some special reporting right from Beverly Hills, my old stomping grounds, when I used to live out in California. But anyway, I digress. But Dr. Obeng, we are going to talk with him right on this broadcast. As I mentioned, his camp, they confirmed he'll be with us on the air date, I believe it's the 22nd. Yes, Tuesday, February 22nd. Hold on. Yeah, no, you know what? I'm sorry, folks. Yeah, that's right. Tuesday, February 22nd. He'll be with us right here at 7:30 in the morning. It's a special time. Because following that, we have a special panel discussion, roundtable discussion, all about, we're not just looking at recent times and all of this and what Jessica, you know, has done with her life since then, but we're looking at everything. There were questions that I didn't ask, and I want to ask those questions now. And one of the big things that the number one question, if you guys remember, that we got, that I received personally from all of the wonderful ladies out there who wanted to know the status of this man, of Dr. Obeng. Yes, he's a rich Beverly Hills surgeon. I guess that would put him at the top of the popularity list there. So we're going to ask some of those questions, and we can do that in this year past at this point in the story. So I can't wait to hear what's happening. And then kind of shifting gears, all in February, you know, we're still honoring the efforts of African Americans to be in this society and to create our own culture, which is what we did, standing on the shoulders of our ancestors. So we are going to look at Black culture from every single angle, and some of it is going to be a little tough. And I've got to say, we're going to warn you of those times. One time that's going to be a little challenging, and I'm looking forward to it. It is inviting back the folks at the Sentencing Project. And these are amazing PhD folks and so many super smart folks who have been on our show in the past. Dr. Ganoush is returning. She is coming back. You'll be able to hear the incredible report that the sentencing folks did on parents in prison. So it's a big, big report, and I've got to digest this to be ready. But on Wednesday. Wednesday's date, it will air. I think I have it down for Wednesday, so we'll see. But next week, for sure, you will hear this incredible, incredible story, a good part of it. So that's kind of what we've got cooking for you guys on some of the wonderful things, and then some program notes I'll get to in just a moment or two. We have a few program notes that you need to hear of what's happening here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, and we'll talk. And I know I see some folks who are commented about upscale. We'll clarify all of that. We'll get to the bottom of it. What you might recall in the piece that we just aired with Nicholas Stiles and being Mary Wilson's last assistant before her death, Nicholas mentioned this remake. And I really have to say, we let in, when you play back this very broadcast a little later on today, we're sharing it on social media, we let in with Mary's song that I didn't know she even made, called Red Hot. And it was a big dance hit, and I absolutely love the song. So you'll hear that on the playback as well. But this is a song that he mentioned, and I absolutely love the version of that Mary Wilson did. So we'll get that on, and then after that, we'll change gears. We'll get on to some more hair talk, as well as some of the program notes. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. All right. We're back live. Yes. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. That was the Supremes, of course, Mary Wilson on lead. And just kind of shifting gears a bit, I wanted to kind of go over a couple of quick program notes, and then we have some more hair talk, of course, coming down the pike for you this morning. I'm Carrie Hines. It is Friday morning, February 4th of 2022. We are actually broadcasting live this morning. It's about 8:19 New York time, 7:19 out for the folks in the Central Time Zone. And I wanted to say, before we even get to the program notes, I wanted to kind of mention about where we are today. As you guys know, this is the 667th broadcast, 667th broadcast of this live morning three-hour show. Now, as I mentioned, we've been on for 25 years, and over that span, that started out on AM and FM radio from me syndicating literally the program. And at that time, we were on different stations around the country, like on AM and FM, like broadcast. The same show would air in different markets on different days. So that's the difference. Then on January 5th of 2015, it was a Monday morning, absolutely freezing cold. I remember that. We relaunched the Hair Radio idea, the Hair Radio show, as a morning broadcast, a three-hour morning broadcast. I didn't quite know what I was getting myself into that Monday morning, but we went on the air, and we never looked back. And my very first guest was Tando Kasele, as you guys remember, from here in New York, the lock specialist. And we kept on going and didn't quite know what we were doing. I was hitting all kind of buttons and stuff. And that broadcast is still out there, by the way, if you ever wanted to take a listen. But learned a lot along the way. 667 shows in. Now, let me just give you some breakdown in terms of what that is equal to out there. So 667 shows means that we have produced, to this day, will be 1,881 hours on air. So I've logged, just for the morning show, not my entire career. That goes way further than that. But of the Hair Radio Morning Show, 1,881 hours. That's equal to 112,860 minutes. Think about that. And so let's just say that you wanted to listen to all of the broadcasts that we've done of the Hair Radio Morning Show. You could, now let's say this, you could listen without interruption, not just one episode a day, but you could listen 24 hours a day, all day, to a brand new different episode for 78 days without hearing a repeat broadcast. So that's not one show per day. That's all day, 24 hours a day. You could hear nothing but each show that we did for 78 days before you run out of shows. And that's just up to today. Now, remember, we are going to be marching towards our 700th show very soon. So that's coming up, and probably within the next couple of months, we'll be promoting a little bit more about that. And I'm so happy because that's a special nighttime three-hour show that we're doing. 700th show will be a big celebration. We've got lots of folks coming back. We'll tell you all about that and keep you informed when that happens. And I'm so excited about it. I cannot wait. I've already started producing that particular broadcast. And we've got some folks who are going to surprise you, as always. So this is going to be a lot of fun. And really, that's my big, big thing on that, as far as that goes with regards to the hours on air. So we're going to keep a close look at all of that as we continue to add minutes to it. Now, also wanted to say, folks, we talked about updates and changes and some program notes. Eugene Davis, you guys had a chance to kind of meet him the other day on our broadcast, but he'll be with us each Tuesday morning. So I'm super excited to say, as the chief stylist, he'll be joining us about 7:30 each Tuesday morning for a whole lot of hair talk. If you think I give hair talk with folks, you haven't seen anything or heard anything until you let Eugene, until he shares with you, and he will. So that's coming up really soon. It's really awesome. And we're just happy. Don't forget, folks, go to hairradio.com, especially at 9 o'clock. Once we wrap this show, it doesn't end. Not on a Friday, not on a Saturday. We are around the clock, 24 hours a day, playing some of those classic episodes that we talked about a few minutes ago on our own streaming network. And our own streaming network is over on a different platform. That's at www.hairradio.com. And that's spelled with just one R. So it's hairradio.com. You don't want to, mistype that, if you will. So go to hairradio.com, and you can listen following this broadcast 24 hours a day, all weekend, including Monday. Then we're back Tuesday with a brand new live episode that we'll talk about. So super hyped about that. Folks, let's just take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. So we're going to have you to kind of stick around, stay with us. We still have got more to go this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Happy Friday, everybody, and I think we're moving along just fine. Stay with us.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community, my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods. And people know, black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge. And tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very, very special guest with us is Mr. Will West. Now, he is the founder of the Amazing ChairWatch app. It is my pleasure and honor. I believe it's your first time, Will, being on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Yes, it is my first time, hopefully not the last. And I am excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, my pleasure. Well, good morning officially. Now, I have to say, first, let's just jump on in. Tell everyone, what exactly is the ChairWatch app all about?
Well, the ChairWatch app is, at its core, a mobile booking app. So if you're a stylist, if you're a nail tech, if you braid hair, if you do lashes, anything that you do in the beauty field that you have clients for, we are your mobile booking app. So that's at its core. But, of course, we have so much more. When you look into the app, it has so many features that will help build your business and build your brand. You know, you won't really want to go anywhere else after you download this app. So ChairWatch is just a great tool for the seasoned veteran or the brand new person launching out into the beauty world, perfecting their craft, and wanting to have their clients and the public be able to book their calendars and utilize their services. And we also have a place for products on our app. So it's just a great mobile booking app and software all around. And,
well, it's so much more than that, Will. I'm going to have you to really go in and tell these wonderful fans who are going to just love this. Let me just tell you officially, I just really started going in just yesterday again and refamiliarizing myself, and I'm just blown away. I absolutely love it, and I see all the beautiful designs, what you've done with it. It's extraordinary. It's not like any app I've seen, especially for the hair or folks who are into this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to book, to have folks, you know, their clients and customers booking for, you know, to make appointments with them and so forth. So I want to go back a little bit. Now, I love that you mentioned that you can put products. A lot of these folks listening right now, we have amazing hairstylists all over the country who, and the world for that much, who would love to register on the Chair app, so on ChairWatch app. So please tell us a little bit more. What kind of, so you can put your products there? How does that work?
So, yes, first of all, we are available. So if anybody wants to check it out or download it, we are available on Apple and Android platforms. So you can definitely download it at any time. So with your products, right, so when somebody is booking an appointment, you know, has somebody who wants to get their hair braided or done or anything, oftentimes stylists have products that will also adjoin with that type of service. So maybe there's a nail polish that you should have or a sealer or a scalp oil. So now when a stylist is setting their app up and setting up that service for their client to book, we also have products right alongside that you can just add on. So now your client is looking at their style and they're seeing what they need to maintain that style or the health of their hair, scalp, or presentation of their nails, or it could be a foundation for a makeup artist. They can have that. It's almost like a menu we've created. So they're getting their style and their product right there so they can book it. And when this, when their client shows up, they get their style done, and they also are able to pick up the products that they already purchased. And the beautiful thing about the ChairWatch app is these purchases are made at the time of booking. So when somebody books you through ChairWatch, you know that that's a solid booking. It's not like they're just booking your time. Your clients pay for it in advance or leave a deposit. So whenever you get a notification from ChairWatch, you're excited because you know that is a solid booking that's upcoming.
That is amazing. So essentially what happens, a person who goes on, they download the app, which, again, I want to make it clear to everybody, it's the ChairWatch, like a chair you sit in, and kind of like a watch on your wrist, so the ChairWatch app.
You said something really cool. Do you get that? Like, that's actually the ChairWatch. So everybody's watching your chair for availability and time to book. Like, that's how we kind of came up with the name.
That was my question. You actually, we must have ESP this morning. That was really my question. Where did you come up with the name ChairWatch? So I get it now. Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. So the ChairWatch app, and you did say it's available for download pretty much where you get your apps from and for your cell phone. I just am blown away. What I love about it, like I said, is the thought that has gone into creating this. So where did the inspiration, though, come from? I got the name, but what inspired you to create this?
Well, I was looking to get my hair cut, and my barber has since become very famous. He owns like two shops, one in New York and one in Florida. So it's hard to get my hair cut whenever I actually want it. So I'd have to like schedule with him, but I could never really see his schedule and his availability unless I'm calling or texting. So he's either in travel or he's got somebody in the chair. So I was like, I really need to find out how I can see his availability. So I said, why is this not available? Like, why can't I check this out? So I decided at that point that I wanted to have something like this for the beauty world, for the entrepreneurs, for people that have clients. I saw it being so much broader than just for the, just for barbers. And then when I started really digging into the app and what I wanted it to be, I saw that there was so much more that entrepreneurs wanted just besides a calendar that somebody can book. Like, you have to let me know, Carrie, whenever you want me to get into these features. I have like seven or eight of them that are absolutely amazing and that hardly nobody has. So when we get to that point, it's going to be juicy.
I cannot wait. And I think this is absolutely awesome. Now, how can folks start to find out more? I guess the best thing you can do is download the app. It's free to download. So tell everybody again how to do that.
Download. It's definitely a free app to download. And I was going to save this for the end, but why not now? Not only is it a free app to download, but listen to this. We are changing this whole mobile booking game up right now. So there are no subscription fees for this app presently. So if you're able to get on now and download it, it's a free download and then no subscription fees. Everybody knows that there are subscription fees for all mobile booking apps presently.
Right.
At least 99% of them, right? So right now, if you get on, we're not going to have any subscription fees for, I would say, maybe, let's say we can do it for 2 to 3 months, and then when it starts to really flood in, we'll see what we do then. But right now is definitely the time you want to jump on.
So take advantage of it, folks listening right now to this broadcast. Again, if you just joined us, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. My very special guest. Now, he is the founder of the ChairWatch app. And again, this is a mobile booking app, which is just extraordinary that he is explaining to us. And I'm just blown away where they can the clients can go on and book time with the stylist and look for a stylist and all that wonderful good stuff. And the professionals, the folks who are just interested in the hair and beauty industry will find this incredibly useful. So I'm just blown away, William West. Good job. Wow. So how has it been received? What have you heard from the folks out there?
Well, so far, everybody that we've had download the app really appreciates the detail that's within the app. When you open it up, you'll see how much care we put into what we want your clients to see when they see the app and see your services that are on display. So they love that. They love how simple it is to set up your store, because I've heard on some other apps, you know, it's really intricate, and, you know, the way you have to add certain services, you have to go on the web, you have to get on a computer. So we're an actual true app where you can do everything from your phone. You can upload and create your description, and it will be displayed immediately.
Wow.
Once you press save. So we've gotten nothing but great reviews so far, and anything that stylists want to suggest, we're actually taking that into consideration and constantly bringing out new and improved features that, you know, that stylists want.
Well, I tell you, I am so hyped and honored. First of all, and I look forward to the Hair Radio Morning Show being one of those that is easily accessible through the Chair Watch. So I can't wait to talk with you about that one, Mr. Wilwet.
Okay.
We'll be chatting about that very soon, because I think it's the perfect partner for what you're doing. And to be able to put that out there and give folks the option of using Carapy products, if they wish to use Carapy, this is a great way to introduce these items in terms of to the folks. And I just think it's wonderful. And we're going to do everything we can to promote this amazing Chair Watch app. And again, it's downloadable where you get your apps from. We are so excited. And again, the part where you mentioned about not having the fees that are associated with it for a period of time, so you need to act now. You really do. Get this app ASAP. So this is really amazing. Now, Will, I have to just switch gears before we let you go. I wanted to ask you about this. Being a man of color out here in the world and being an entrepreneur, how does this, you know, do you realize that you're doing something that is just amazing? And being kind of like a trailblazer, if you will, or, you know, setting the pace for, you know, young kids to come up after you. Do you realize how important I think this is that you're doing and what you're doing?
Well, the answer to that directly is it was yes and no. Like, I'm a New York City firefighter and by trade. So that also is very, like, you know.
Amazing. And thank you for your service. Let us say that from the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So, you know, coming from that background, you know, it was definitely something that's in me to just take the, you know, bull by the horns and go forward with whatever your dream is. And this also was a part of it. And going forward in this, you definitely feel it, you know. When I was creating the app and the business aspects and getting approved for to have a merchant, because we're aligned with one of the top merchants in the game. They're called Stripe, and they are the same merchant that is for Target, for Under Armour, for, you know, the top 500 in the world. Mm-hmm. So
for processing, they're wonderful.
Yeah, for processing. Yes, for your MasterCard, for your Amex, for Discovery, like, that was huge for us, because it took us a while to get approved. You know, they want to find out who you are, where you are. And we felt it. Yeah. We definitely felt like there was a little more intricate deduction going on with us. But we had all of our ducks in a row. We had all our information. Everything was pristine. So we had to be approved. But it was just felt really good to put ourselves in a position where we can go step forward strongly, being a young African-American male with a dream to get this thing out to the world, you know?
Well, you have done just that. It's the Chair Watch app. It's out now. You can go ahead and download it. The Chair Watch app, it's a mobile booking app, and it's just And like I said, and like you've been saying this morning on the show, this is really quite extraordinary. It's not, you know, there are tons of free little things out there and things that are not quite as useful as you think. We like the idea, but once we looked at certain things that were out there already, not quite so pleased. But I have to tell you, I went in, and I'm at that point now. I have to go in and set up, which I'm, after talking with you today, I'm like really inspired to go set up my little store here. And I just love the color. I love the design. I love it. It's really done very, very well. So you could be very proud of yourself. Let me just go ahead and put that on out there.
Can I jump in and give you three features that you're going to absolutely love that I think your audience
please,
is going to be in love with?
Yes.
Okay. So here it is, right? I'm going to let the cat out of the bag here. Okay,
right.
So number one is special requests. No app has this. So I imagine when you want to, you got to catch a plane, maybe it's the wedding season, anything that can arise, you need to see your beauty professional before their normal business hours or after their normal business hours.
Right.
Well, ChairWatch allows a stylist to actually create a special request appointment where their clients can get on the app, see their available hours, but if they do need them a little bit earlier than normal or a little bit later than normal, they can request a booking at that time. Now, we know that stylist time is money. So
right.
A stylist can allocate a certain amount of money
just
for an earlier than normal
wow.
appointment. Maybe it's 50, maybe it's 75.
Right.
So that's already built in. So once that client says, okay, I need you earlier, it'll say, okay, $50 for the early appointment and then whatever the service cost is. So stylists are loving that right there because we're monetizing their time and also allowing clients to be more flexible when they can book.
That's something that needs to really be out there. We've got to make sure that folks know because that, to me, is a game changer.
Yes.
That's a game
yes.
changer. So we've
number
got to make
two,
sure folks are aware of that. Wow.
And so number two is the shareability. Every service that we have on our app is shareable. So you can just, for yourself, mind you, the stylist can share it, and the clients can share it. So imagine when you're getting your hair done or your nails done, and they're like, yo, your nails are fire. Where'd you get them done? The customer can actually go on your store, go to your service that you have, and share
it
directly
to
the friend. So the word of mouth now becomes actual booking information. So once they send it out, their friends that touch the link, it automatically brings them to their stylist store and starts the booking process. So that word of mouth now becomes monetized. So stylists really love that option that they can share. Imagine during prom season, you know, wedding season, and Valentine's Day season, everybody wants to know who did your hair, who did your nails, who did your braids. So now you can actually share it out, and those stylists will increase their booking. So they do love that. And
amazing.
The last one
wow. yes.
that I'll give you is the appointment notes. Appointment notes. So
appointment
you've been in the game for how long, Kerry? How long
about
you been
25
in?
25 years.
Have you ever had a person come to you and want something done, but when they get to you, it was kind of something different than what they said?
Oh, right. Yeah, that does happen.
So what we have is something called appointment notes.
What's an appointment notes?
When somebody books an appointment, they can add a picture and a text to the appointment so the stylist knows exactly what they want. So, you know, we're just trying to –
hold it.
Yeah, that's
so that sounds like the person can kind of give the stylist a heads up about what kind of style the client might be looking to have.
Exactly.
Wow. That's
exactly.
Amazing. And this can be all done through the Chair Watch app.
This and tons more. If we had an hour show, then I would go that long. But yes.
Well, what we're going to do, and I appreciate you, Will West, I really do, because what you'll have to do is come back and on a regular basis and roll out these features. We'll do nothing but roll out these features and have some of your amazing customers to join us and explain how they've been utilizing this amazing ChairWatch app. And so that's I think that's going to be just wonderful. And so for all of our listeners out there, please download the ChairWatch app. It's your way to monetize these interactions. It's a great setup. And, again, it's a beautiful app. It's very unique. And you just explained several unique items, you know, that allows for you to really have something that's going to make money for you and work efficiently. So, Will, I've got to say, is there anything you want to leave us with today? Anything at all? We know the ChairWatch app is the app to download, but what else can you tell us today?
Well, I would just say in these times, you definitely want to be flexible in the way that you can accelerate your business and maintain your business and even grow. So that's at the core of why we're doing this, is to give the entrepreneur options. Just as much as working in a salon, we want to make the entrepreneur as strong as that and as flexible as that. And we have definitely accomplished that through the features that we've added onto ChairWatch. And I just want to thank you, Kerry, for opening this up to me. And, we definitely have our history with your shows and extravaganza. So I'm just glad that we're able to go this far and still be here and able to enjoy, just the opportunity to be on this great morning show. I'm excited. Never thought I'd be doing a morning show, so this is pretty cool.
Oh, awesome. Well, we love having you here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Also, many of our Hair Radio associates, they are already familiar with you because you get to come out to our wonderful live hair expo event called Hair Nation down at the Shoba Hotel, and we look forward to having you at the next one and each one after that, where you get to come in. And I have to say, well, I know just to let folks out there know how committed you are to what you're doing. I remember you did a wonderful presentation all about the ChairWatch app, educating these amazing young ladies who were in just school students, who were high school students, who were in cosmetology class, telling them all about this wonderful, wonderful new development of yours. And they were so amazing about it. And you did a great job with the presentation. So I just wanted to tip my hat to you and to continue what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Kerry. Thank you.
All right. So again, folks, download the ChairWatch app. Again, mobile booking application. It's really, really, really nice. And if you have any questions, of course, you can reach out. Well, is there any way they can reach you, or is that just download the app and go through there?
Oh, no, we have a beautiful IG page at the ChairWatch app, at the ChairWatch app all together. That's our Instagram, and you can reach out to us there, and you'll see information about what's going on new with us. And any questions, DM us. We are very responsive and love all interaction. So please check us out there, definitely.
And I can say at Hair Radio, because I'm going to invite you guys to listen out for a new commercial to air on the Hair Radio Morning Show, and we're looking forward to that. So definitely you'll be able to reach out to us as well, and we will definitely put you in touch with in a heartbeat with the amazing Will West, the founder of the ChairWatch app. So again, thank you so much for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Stop dealing with embarrassing hair loss. The Hair Loss and Hair Rejuvenation Clinic, located inside Case Design Team, has the latest technology in hair restoration so you can get your confidence in 100% real hair back. And by working with a licensed trichologist with the U.S. Trichology Institute and AMCA certified, a multi-therapeutical approach is used to diagnose and determine the best program for you. So book your appointment today. Call 316-789-0110 at Case Design Team at 718 North Baltimore and Derby.
It's been an incredible Friday, everybody, on this February 4th morning of 2022. I just love Will Wheaton, Will West, who did the, Will Wheaton is from Star Trek, Will West, who did the amazing interview all about ChairWatch. You've heard the commercials many times, air right here on our network. Listen, just want to say thank you to all of our guests, all of our listeners. I want to quickly mention from coast to coast, I look at our numbers every day. We have folks tuning in from, obviously, from the United States, but also Italy, Canada, Australia, Ireland, Ghana, Nigeria, Egypt, and South Africa as well, in addition to a lot and lots of other places. You guys remember I'll be doing the special virtual presentation for the folks over in Ghana on Tuesday, March 1st, so you don't want to miss that. We'll keep you informed. And remember that you can go over to hairradio.com. That's HAIradio.com. The broadcast does not end here at this moment. Go right over there. Become a member if you are not. It's free. And listen to the Hair Radio, Best of Hair Radio shows all weekend. So that's for the rest of today, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Please, please visit the 24-hour network. It's our own streaming network. And we'll be back live at 6 a.m. Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning for the next broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've got some special folks lined up, as you know. You don't want to miss it. And more hair talk, of course. So we'll see you back here. I'll go ahead and get the outro started. Make it a great weekend, everybody. You deserve it. And again, it's been my pleasure to have you with us on this incredible Friday. I call it fan day, fun day, everything we can call it, because it's been absolutely incredible with you guys, as always. So here's our outro. We'll see you back here next week. Thank you so much. I'm Carrie Hines.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at fixyourfeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has two locations, one in New York City and the other in Maryland. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing Troy Ballard, of course, from the West Coast out in Southern California. His company is called Smooth Black Ink. Now, he offers the very, very best in hair care for the entire family. He is a legendary hairstylist and educator. And also, he's a program host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We just appreciate him again. That's Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black of Smooth Black Ink. Also, we are talking about a complete line of products for the guys now. It's at Rugged Evolution. Now, Rugged Evolution Beard Care is the actual name of the company. Rugged Evolution Beard Care makes a complete line. I love their products. Go to www.ruggedevo.com for more details. Again, that's ruggedevo, that's E-V-O.com for complete details on their products. Also, Stimulating Roots stimulatingroots.com. Now, Stimulating Roots is a hair product growth system for women, for everybody, really. And how they spell it, I love this, is R-U-T-Z. Get amazing hair products that support healthy hair. And I say the secret is in their name, Stimulating Roots. That's really it. That's what actually grows the hair. Now, we're also taking a moment. Go to their site, stimulatingroots.com. Again, it's spelled R-U-T-Z is how they spell roots.com. Now, we're also thanking our entire advertising and promotions family for introducing our show fans to their great products and services. And you will find many of them right here in our website store at www.hairadio.com. That's hairradio.com, spelled with just one R. Now, it's also been our honor to welcome our amazing Hair Radio Morning Show fans from coast to coast in the United States and North America to continents all around the world. Our many friends.